As always, great job, worship team. Go ahead and be turning your Bibles over to Exodus chapter 2. We'll begin there in a moment. Good morning. It is good to be here, good to be seen. I am just so grateful for what God does through the people of this church. You know, listening to Sherman just share his heart, and not just share his heart, not just share things that in his life are the result of faith, but also sharing about people's actions that made a difference. Your actions, Cornerstone, that made a difference. We heard about a need, and we went out and set out to be good news. To be good news in our community in a very real way. And so, brother, I appreciate just you sharing the impact that it had on your school, what the brothers and sisters here decided to do, but also appreciate you sharing your life and just sharing your story of how God, despite a very difficult situation, a difficult childhood, I thought it was so impressive being in student council since fourth grade. I don't even know if we had student council when I was in fourth grade in my school, so that's awesome. You know, but just your commitment to Jesus after seeing what God had done in your life was just very inspiring. So thank you so much, brother, for sharing your heart. You know, Chuck and Kathy, I appreciate you guys just really, you know, I've never expected to come to church and hear somebody say, don't be a beaver, but here we are. honestly, what I appreciated, particularly Kathy, is you getting up there and just honestly just confessing sin. You know, we live in a world where people don't do that, particularly in public, right? And so I just appreciate your humility. You were just moved by his message, and you said, hey, I'm human too. I may be a disciple of Jesus, but I'm not perfect. And you were moved by the Spirit to just get open with all of us. I just applaud that humility and vulnerability in front of our congregation. So we got a lot of things going on. I want to read a card to you. With special thanks to all of you. It says, Cornerstone Sisters, thank you all for taking out time from your busy schedule to honor me. You sure exceeded my expectations. Thank you so much for the sweet and generous gifts for my babies. All the gifts will certainly come in handy with everything we needed. May God meet each and every one of you at your exact point of needs. Amen. Love you all, Laura and family. That's from Boomy and her family. Just thanking you all for the baby shower and just the amount of love that was showered on their family. I've got another card or note I want to read here. This is from Trevor, Sarah, and Elizabeth Toth. We want to say thank you to everyone that have been there for us during this time. The letters, gift cards, words of encouragement, and meals have been so helpful and carried us during this time and lifted our spirits. Thank you to all the parts of the body. The hands that helped when our hands could not. The feet that walked when we could not. The ears that listened when we could not. The minds that helped make decisions when we could not. Thank you to the teens and middle schoolers for their support and wisdom in knowing what was needed whether it was just a wave, a fist bump, a smile, or a hug. And there's a quote from Exodus 23:20. I'm going to send an angel before you to protect you on the way to the place I have prepared. Thank you from Trevor, Sarah, and Elizabeth Toth. Amen. It's just so encouraging when God moves, and when God moves through us. Last bit of housekeeping for us. Many of you may know Clarice's daughter, Janine, had a brain tumor, and she went into surgery this past week, and I got a report from Leanne that the surgery went amazingly well, and that they just wanted to thank everybody for their prayers, and that she's going to pick them up tomorrow from the hospital after having, I guess, brain surgery on Friday. So God is good. You know, God is definitely good. Last bit of housekeeping. I just wanted to give a very personal thanks to Hamilton and Ashlyn Von Wiegand and Heather Futrell. For those of you that don't know, yesterday we had a mental health workshop, and they just blew us away. I mean, it was, every person I talked to said, this was amazing. We need to do this again. It wasn't enough time to talk about everything. And so, what I love is when you see God use people and their gifts in a great way to do something for the kingdom of God. Because here's the deal. We could have just gone out and found whoever the local psychologist or therapist or psychiatrist from the community and had a mental health workshop. And I'm sure we would have learned a lot of great information. But one of the most remarkable things was, I love when Hamilton started off just talking about just the Bible and really the fact that God understands that there are internal things that go on with us. The Bible's not a mental health book per se, but it does have a lot of great teachings and wisdom that can help us. And so it was just so inspiring. It was challenging to me as a parent of a middle school and elementary age child. And I think ultimately we were just so encouraged to know that in our fellowship, we've got some people with some really great gifts. And so I just want to thank you again so much. You all did an amazing job. All right, today, you know, we've been having this series this year, By Faith. And today we're getting to Moses. And Moses and Abraham are the two guys that probably get the most verses in Hebrews chapter 11 talking about their faith. Quite frankly, Moses was one of the greatest men to ever live. But before Moses could live, he had to be kept alive. He had to be kept alive. If you know this story, we're going to dive into it a little bit today. Let's see my clicker. How we doing? There we go. There we go. Over in Hebrews 11, it says, by faith, after he was born, Moses was hidden by his parents for 3 months because they saw that the child was beautiful and they didn't fear the king's edict. So the interesting thing is the very first verse about Moses and his faith really actually isn't about Moses' faith. Whose faith is it that we're looking at? That of his parents. Actually, if you look at the story, it's the faith of his entire family up to this point. And one of the very interesting things when looking at the research about this verse is it says, because they saw that the child was beautiful, they saved him. Now, I would have met all of you that have had children, right? All of you that have had them. When they come out, you're pretty much like, man, this child is beautiful. And so the question becomes, why is that pointed out about him? Actually, the Hebrew word there means he was good. And so the idea is that there was something special about Moses when he was born. Now here's the deal, we're all special. We're all special, right, to our parents. But it says that there was something good or beautiful or special about Moses that made them say, this is not just an ordinary child. And every parent thinks that their child is amazing. But God obviously moved in his parents' heart to realize that something was different. The other day at the Yo Pros, we were having a discussion. Lucretia was talking, she has a cute little baby Reagan, and she was talking about, you know, how big she always wanted her family to be when she was growing up and having more kids. And it was so interesting. Garrett Rutland kind of, he comes into this conversation, he goes, you know, I honestly don't understand why anyone would actually decide to have children. Or especially those that already have children, why would you plan to then have more? Because if you've gone through what it means to have a kid, you know how difficult it is to have a kid. And so it's very funny. We start having this discussion, and, you know, Leo is a handful. Leo's awesome. But it's interesting. Garrett is a very, very, just kind of a very meticulous and sort of mathematically minded guy. And he said, if you really look at the logic of it, why would you have a child? It's so much financial and mental and emotional strain on your life. Why would you do it? And so he basically said, you know, I kind of feel like all children should pretty much just be oops children, right? And so we're having this discussion, we're laughing, Garrett is so hilarious. And the thing I think about is, oops or not, when you look at a story like Moses, God has a plan for everyone that is born on this earth. God has a plan for everyone that is born on this earth. So we're gonna read over here in Exodus chapter 2. We're going to read verses 1 through 10 and talk about this amazing story. Read with me, if you will, in Exodus 2. It says, now a man from the family of Levi married a Levite woman. The woman became pregnant and gave birth to a son. When she saw that he was beautiful, she hid him for 3 months. But when she could no longer hide him, she got a papyrus basket for him and coated it with asphalt and pitch. She placed the child in it and set it among the reeds by the bank of the Nile. Perfect. Then his sister stood at a distance in order to see what would happen to him. Pharaoh's daughter went down to bathe at the Nile while her servant girls walked along the riverbank. She saw the basket among the reeds, sent her slave girl, took it, opened it, and saw him, the child. And there he was, a little boy, crying. She felt sorry for him and said, "This is one of the Hebrew boys." Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, "Should I go and call a Hebrew woman who is nursing to nurse the boy for you?" "Go," Pharaoh's daughter told her. So the girl went and called the boy's mother. Then Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this child and nurse him for me, and I will pay your wages." So the woman took the boy and nursed him. When the child grew older, she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She named him Moses because she said, "I drew him out of the water." What an amazing story. What an amazing story about what God does when you have faith. This year, our theme is by faith. And so today, what I want to talk about are two elements of faith. The first is courage, and the second is trust. How faith is really made up of courage and trust. And so, before we get into that, a little history, or what I think is a really cool parallel here. So in Exodus 1 and 2, one of the interesting things that God does, and I've talked about this before, in his word, he often tells the same stories, honestly, with different people over and over. He uses a lot of foreshadowing. He uses a lot of what they call types and anti-types of things that are prophesied or predicted and then come true. And he uses the same story often over and over again. I think God's point is sometimes we're just slow to learn and we need to hear the same things over and over again. That's why there's four gospels. Right? We need to hear the same things over and over again. But if you read Exodus 1 and know the background here, it tells the story of the Israelites under Egyptian oppression, followed up by how the Israelites multiply, and then Pharaoh orders all the male children to be tossed into the Nile. And finally, you see that was Pharaoh's plan for the destruction of the Israelites. Well, it's very interesting looking at Exodus 2, the parallel here. So Exodus 2 starts off with the story of one Israelite family under this oppression. And parallel to multiplying, this particular family has a child. Pharaoh orders all the male children to be tossed into the Nile. And this specific male child is put into the Nile. But ultimately, at the end of this story, we see that while Pharaoh had a plan for the Israelites' destruction, God had a plan for the Israelites' salvation. And so God does this over and over again. It's a very, very cool parallel. You know, the thing about the Bible is when we study it and really get into it and don't just take cursory glances, right? I'll often meet people growing up who say, "You know, I just read a proverb a day," which is fine. I mean, that's fine. It is God's word. But the riches of knowledge and the depths that your faith can go to when you really try to dive into it are amazing. The Bible is the most amazing book that has ever been written. And when you think about all these different writers, right, over 30 different writers, they all talk about this one topic. Hamilton talked about it yesterday, God's plan of redemption for us. They're all consistent on this one topic. And so today we're going to look at courage and trust as the two elements of faith. Let's see, I remember. So what I'd like to point out are the courage of three sets of characters in this first story: the midwives, the parents, and the sister. Think about the courage it took. If you read Genesis 1, so I don't understand this exact setup, but there were some midwives, some Egyptian women, that were charged with, when the Hebrew women were giving birth, you need to go and be the midwives for them. And there's these women, Pharaoh tells them, "Hey, the Israelites are multiplying too much. If the Hebrew woman has a child and it's a boy, I want you to kill him." And these midwives are charged with this task, and they decide not to do it. And so a bunch of boys, I guess, are still born. And so Pharaoh, not still born, but are still born. Right? Being born, there we go. And Pharaoh says to the midwives, what's happening? And they say, well, the Hebrew women, they're stronger than Egyptian women. They're tough. They give birth before we can even get there. Honestly, it's maybe true, maybe not. It's very interesting in the Bible, whether it's Rahab, whether it's these guys, sometimes God lets people get away with lying. I don't quite understand. I think it was very strategic in the Old Testament, right? You're dealing with the physical kingdom. And so a lot of times if someone's sort of being a spy or helping out God's people, he lets them sort of get away with some things, if you will. But they decide to go ahead and let these Hebrew boys live. And then it says God rewarded them with their own families. God, they stood up to Pharaoh, who could have on a whim just decided, I'm going to kill you. But they took courage to do the right thing. Think about Moses' parents. This was an edict. That means everybody had to obey. Throw your child into the Nile if it's a male. And they decide to hide him and not do it. Think about the courage it took for his parents to do this. Think about the courage it took for the mom to then say, well, we're not just going to, or we're going to put him in the Nile, but we're going to make this basket for him and just leave it up to God, his protection. Think about the sister. Watch the basket go down. Sees Pharaoh's daughter. She goes up to Pharaoh's daughter. This random Hebrew girl, right? This random slave comes up to Pharaoh's daughter and says, and starts this conversation. Says, hey, you want me to go and get a nursing Hebrew woman? Think of the courage it took to do that. What about us? What things do we do to display the courage that we have to God? It's interesting, this verse in Timothy says, God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and sound judgment. But here's the deal. Sometimes you're still afraid. Sometimes you're still discouraged. Sometimes you're still sad. And I love this quote that I read one time. It said, sometimes fear won't go away, so you're just going to have to do it afraid. When I think about what courage really is, it's not so much that you're not afraid, it's that even in the face of fear, you just decide to do what you've got to do anyway. If you're not afraid, it doesn't take as much courage. But when you are and you rely on God, it's an amazing thing. So sometimes the discouragement won't go away. You're just going to have to do it discouraged. Sometimes the sadness won't go away. You're just going to have to do it sad. I think about Trevor and Sarah and just the horrendous last 60 days of their life. It'd been very easy for them to just check out. It'd be understandable. Quite frankly, it's so interesting. Trevor, you know, just a couple weeks ago was like, hey, I'm ready to just jump back in. I want to serve the middle schoolers and I love them. And you know, and it's like, I appreciate, even through just probably the toughest time of their life, particularly for Sarah, who's lost her mom in the last year as well. And they're still here trying to serve. They're still here trying to help people. Fear's not, the sadness not going to go away. You've just got to do it afraid or sad. And the interesting thing is, God rewards the courage of these people in every case. The midwives are blessed with families. Moses actually survives. His parents and sister take a great leap of faith and they take some courage and God blesses them by allowing him to survive. It's very interesting. Yesterday, I was just kind of discouraged myself, honestly. I was having a rough day, rough afternoon, and I had to go out. Natasha wanted me to go out and grab some stuff from the store. And I went to the gas station to pick up something. And I was discouraged. I was kind of like, I'm going to get in here, get out, and go back home. Just having kind of a long day and a rough day. And when I got up to the counter, I said, you know what? I'm not really feeling it, but I'm going to share my faith with this guy. And so I decided to strike up a conversation with the cashier at the gas station. And I said, hey, you know, I don't know if you work on Sunday mornings. I'd love to invite you out to my church. And I said, hey, I'm Fenton. What's your name? The guy goes, my name's Moses. I said, that's funny, because I'm preaching on Moses tomorrow. Now, I don't think he's here, but I just felt like that was a little kiss from God. Sometimes you just gotta do it, even when you're afraid, discouraged, or whatever. The other thing that's really amazing when you think about God, or actually this one is a little scary, I wouldn't say amazing, it's a little bit scary to me. Over in Revelation, chapter 21, it says this. But the cowards, faithless, detestable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their share will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. Now, looking at this list, there's some things in here that is kind of like, all right, well, I'd expect that. I mean, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, you're doing witchcraft. I kind of understand if God would have a problem with that. Idolaters. But the one up here that always struck me the most from this list, it says, but the cowards. You see, God is big on courage. What's the opposite of courage? It's cowardice. Cowardice offends God. And it's, you think about the times when this book was written, some of the things they were going through, they were throwing their kids to the lions. They were burning Christians out in the streets. Right? They were undergoing heavy persecution. And I was thinking about today, Kenton and I were talking about this in staff one day, the type of persecution for us, particularly here in America, that we go through, it generally isn't normally legal persecution. Sometimes it can be, right? Suing bakers because they won't make a cake or something like that. But most of the time, the type of things that we go through are what I call social persecution. When you take courage to stand up for something. When you say, you know what? It's not right for you to be living with your boyfriend or girlfriend, you're not married to them. People get offended by that. When you say, look, God's plan for marriage is for a man and a woman. It is. You get called a bigot for those sort of things. When you say, if you really want to have a relationship with God, you need to be a disciple of Jesus. It's not just come sit in a seat at church on Sundays. It's a commitment of your life and your doctrine. You get called the religious weirdo in your neighborhood. But God wants us to have courage. Think about what Jesus said. He said, Luke 9, anyone that's ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him in front of the Father and the holy angels. God wants us to be courageous men and women that take steps that a lot of times seem foolish or seem crazy, but when you're deciding to obey God, he blesses that. Go to the next slide. Love this verse over in Proverbs 28:1. It says, the wicked flee when no one is pursuing them, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. Think about Caleb and Joshua. What were they rewarded for? Being the two spies that said, no, we can take these people. God is with us. Think about David. What was he rewarded for? When all these grown men were afraid of Goliath and said, we're not going out to battle him. He's coming out blaspheming the living God. And David is like, are we just going to sit here and do nothing? David was rewarded for his courage. Think about one of the things the Bible tells us to do daily. Encourage one another daily. To give courage to someone else daily. So when you think about these midwives in this story, the parents, the sisters, and even Pharaoh's own daughter, you think about the fact that her dad said, kill all the Hebrew boys, and she decides to bring one home. The courage that it would take in ridiculous odds, in a situation where you could be killed on a whim. But God rewarded all of their courage. What are some things that we can do this week? Encourage. What are some things that we can do this week in faith? I think the first sign of faith, or the first side of the, if you want to say faith is a two-sided coin, the first side of that coin is courage. The second side of that coin, if you can go to the next slide, is trust. This is a verse I learned at a very early age. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Think about the trust by Moses' parents. I'm going to put him out in a basket. The trust they had to have in God. Think about this. How many Israelite parents went ahead and threw their kid in the river? Always a choice. Watching the Book of Eli. I don't know if you've ever seen that movie with Denzel Washington. It's an amazing book, amazing movie. And there's a part in the story where his character says, you always have a choice. You can trust in God or not. But you think about the trust that Moses' parents had to have in God to say, we're gonna do what is right. You ever heard of a trust fall? Teens aren't here today. teens in middle school. By the way, middle schoolers are outside having a party. They're having just all kind of parties this week, right? The teens are out in Athens. Remember, the Athens kids came here to encourage our kids when we had a teen-led service. So our teens are out there. Athens having a teen-led service today. But they do this thing called trust falls. And basically what it is you'll just stand with somebody, you know, behind you and say, trust fall, and just fall. Just fall back. Hoping, trusting that the person is going to catch you. If you don't totally understand the idea, think about crowd surfing. I know some of you 70s rock and rollers will understand this one, right? Jumping off the stage into the crowd and just trusting that they're going to catch you. It's you can't see what's behind you, but you've decided to just believe that this person is going to catch you. Sometimes God wants us to take a trust fall. Matter of fact, daily, I'd say, God wants us to take a trust fall. God's like, I got you. It's an amazing thing about Moses, even his name. At the end of this story says, the Pharaoh's daughter named him Moses because she got him out of the water. We're going to talk about this a little bit later, but the name in Hebrew means drawn out. And the name in Egyptian means born or child. I'm going to look at that in a moment. You ever heard of Ramesses, right? Pharaoh Ramesses, that name, Ra, Moses, it means child of Ra, right? That's the word from Egyptian. But the trust, and I don't know if Pharaoh's daughter believed in the God of the Hebrews or she just believed in Ra and, you know, Anubis and all those things, but just the trust that this is the right thing to do, I'm going to do it. One of the interesting things, we talk a lot in the Bible, if you look at the next slide here, is, you know, people say, just believe. Which we do. We need to believe in God. But it's very interesting. The word belief in the Bible doesn't just mean sort of mental assent. What it has to really do with is trust. In John 14, I think some translations say, you believe in God, believe also in me, Jesus tells the apostles. Another translation is, you trust in God, trust also in me. And so when we talk about believing in God, that means that we trust in God. Psalm 26, he says, vindicate me, O Lord, because I have lived with integrity and have trusted in the Lord without wavering. Many pains come to the wicked, but the one who trusts in the Lord will have faithful love surrounding him. Commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will act, making your righteousness shine like the dawn, your justice like the noonday sun. God will do immeasurably more than you could ask or imagine when you trust him. It's always the right time to do the right thing. I mean, you think about this story and how it turns out. Because they trusted, their kid gets saved. I mean, and not only that does their kid get saved, but the sister goes to Pharaoh's daughter and she says, hey, do you need a Hebrew nursing woman to nurse this child? And they get to raise their own kid. You say, what? And get paid for it. I mean, and get paid. Can you imagine getting paid to raise your own kid? We'd have a lot less oops babies and a lot more, yes, sign me up, right? But she gets paid for it. Look at what God will do when you just have trust in him. Think about Jim Hanna. If you've ever talked to him about his job situation when he was in Florida as a young Christian, ask him that story. I'm not going to do it justice, but the bottom line is he didn't think it was a good spiritual situation for him to just move to another city, even though it was going to be more money for this job. So he decided, you know what? I'm going to wait it out. Now think at the time, you didn't have a job, right? He didn't have a job. And he said, I'm just going to trust in God. God, I think God wants me to be here in this church that we're at. We're really serving the Lord. We're young Christians, but I think they've been put in leadership at that point or something. And God was really working through their lives. And they said, it would not be a good spiritual situation for us to move to Atlanta at this time. I think he had an opportunity to work with Ross Perot's company, right? You know, and he turned it down. And what did God do? He ended up getting a higher paid job in that city where he was because he looked through the eyes of, I'm going to trust in God about this. Think about Byron and Danielle. They do not live close to Cornerstone. They live down by the airport. And I remember when they first started coming here, I'd ask Byron, will you come and help us sing maybe once a month? And then it was, hey, can you come over the summer? And it was so interesting. Every time I would ask Byron for a different time period, he'd say, let me pray about it first. He said, I need to go to God and trust that God will give me an answer about what I need to do. And if you've ever talked to them about their story, there's been some hurt with church in their family. I mean, they were doing house church before they came to Cornerstone. Lots of us have been hurt by church, right? Hurt by people at different times. But they said, we're going to put our trust in the Lord. And they prayed about it. And every time, God would just come back and say, yeah, you need to come back to Cornerstone. You need to come back. And we're so grateful today that Byron was a spiritual guy that would say, I'm going to trust in God. You know? And I think we mutually benefited from the relationship because he trusted in God. And so the last thought I want to leave you with, the first thing, again, was courage. The second point was trust. I want to leave you with, we'll go to the next slide. We started off looking at a parallel. Here's another really cool one. Noah and Moses. It's very interesting. Noah gets into an ark. And that word that we actually use for his mother put him in a basket is the exact same word. The text could have said his mother put him in an ark. It's the exact same word in Hebrew. Tabal is the word there. And then he's protected from the destruction of the flood. Moses is protected from the waters of the Nile. He ends up getting delivered from those waters, and Moses is delivered from the waters of the Nile. Going back to his name, meaning drawn out. So Moses was drawn out of the water. And he would later draw the Israelites out of Egypt through the waters. That's where the book of Exodus ends. And the parallel is so amazing that Paul writes about it in 1 Corinthians 10. He says, and the Israelites were all baptized into Moses in the sea and under the cloud. They went through the waters and left behind destruction. They were saved out of the waters. And so there's this amazing foreshadowing that Moses would be the one, even from the story of his birth, that he would be the one to do that. And it doesn't even stop there. It goes on to Jesus, which is the reason we're here. The same way that they were baptized into Moses, we get baptized into Christ. Sherman talked about it in his communion. We go through the waters and leave behind sin and death and destruction after we've made a decision to have courage and to trust in God. You think about how Moses also prefigured Jesus, right? In Matthew chapters 1 and 2, they talk about how Herod tried to kill all the young Hebrew boys, just like Pharaoh had tried to kill all the young Hebrew boys. And so how can we have trust in God? Because he's doing these same things over and over again. What I want to leave you with today is, if you have courage, if you have trust, if you decide to live by faith, the same ways that God saves these people, he will save you. And that doesn't mean that life's going to be great. You're going to have all the money in the bank account you want, or your children are going to be super well-behaved. But what it does mean is that ultimately, at the end of all things, you will be saved, which is what really matters. Him to say, well done, good and faithful servant. Come and enter my rest. So even if life isn't perfect, even if life has those moments of discouragement and sadness and even destruction, we can have courage because we serve a God who does the saving. We serve a God that does a lot of planning, that has done planning for millennia, setting stories like this up to do them over and over again. He wants to do the same thing in your life. So today as we leave, have courage, have trust in the living God. And that is how we can live by faith. Thank you.